game of football a couple of weeks ago, and managed to break a bone and tear a ligament in his foot. So, but he just carried on as if there was nothing really wrong for a while, didn't you? And then you decided the pain was getting quite consequential, so you better go and see the doctor. And he said, naughty boy, yeah, moon boot for you, possibly a cast on your foot. Yeah. So, Andrew, just want to say a massive welcome to you on behalf of the Island family. And I've been looking forward to you coming for over a year since we first talked about you, maybe coming and sharing some of your story and the church's story with us. Andrew's been pastoring at the New Plymouth West Baptist Church for... IBI, okay. Children's program? Yep. Yes, and IBI as well. So children of few and teaching crew, if you want to make your exit there. Thanks, Murray, for that reminder. Sarah and I have something in common. is that better? Okay. Yeah, so been pastoring there for how many years altogether? Is it 9?
13.
13.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh, we will definitely hear more about that story. So in pastoral ministry in Baptist churches for some time, and in this pastorate for 13 years, studied at Carey College. We were doing a little bit of comparing notes of groups and who we knew and where we were connected with whom and so on. And yesterday went for a bit of a drive along the Summit Road from the sign of the Kiwi down to Gibbs, and then out to have a coffee at... at the park, and we were both feeling like this is just not fair because we're sitting in a car and we really want to be on our bikes, but a certain moon boat interfered with that plan, didn't it? So we've had to forsake that. So if you're into cycling and adventuring, also have a chat to Andrew afterwards. He's got some pretty significant accomplishments in that regard. And he name-dropped with me. Would you believe it? He name-dropped, for those of you who are in the know, Anton Cooper. Yeah, he name-dropped. Said he went for a ride with Anton Cooper. He was pacing him for training. Anton Cooper. Who wants to inform the room about who Anton Cooper is?
My colleague's brother.
He's a Commonwealth Games medalist in cross MTB cross country, and also one of our leading riders. And you also dropped Joe Nation as another name. Now, those of you who are in adventuring, who knows who Joe Nation is? Surely somebody has. Okay, Joe Nation, Lindsay. Yes, yeah. So he name dropped this guy. He said he pulled up beside him in a race once and then tore off past him, left him in his dust. Now, that's just kind of a little bit of embellishment of the story there. But anyway, now that I have dropped you in it, Andrew, welcome. Come and share your heart with us. Come and share your story. And if we've got a little bit of time, there might be a little bit of Q&A space left after this as well.
Yeah.
Welcome. Put your hands together, folks.
I'll take my notes, thanks.
Oh, those are yours.
Yeah. I've been in big trouble, so would you. Thank you, Sean. Well, tēnā koutou e te whānau. Nō mai, haere mai. Nō tamaki makaurau au, engāri kei ngā motu au e noho ana a nāianei. E noho ana a hau, e raro e te maru, o Taranaki, i roto i te rohi o Tiatiawa. Ko Genji's tōku waka, ko Alan rawa, ko Colleen tōku mātua, ko Ihu Karaiti tōku tuakiri, ko West Baptist Community tōku whare karakia, ko Aaron rātou ko Ezra, ko Libby aku tamariki, ko Andrew Sangster tōku ingoa. So I've greeted you as family, e te whānau, because that is what you are to me. We are to each other by the work of God's Spirit. We are family, siblings in Christ, aren't we? So I want to thank you for the invitation to be with you today. So, yep, I'm Andrew, live in New Plymouth. Certainly not a world-class athlete. That's for sure, yes. Joe Nation and I were in the same event, and there was a very slow start over a couple of kilometres. I saw him, rode up to him, had a little chat, and then I was joking with Sean that I then rode off, left him in the dusk whilst taking a selfie video, just to show my prowess, but that did not actually happen. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a pastor at New Plymouth West Baptist Community Church, and like I said in my pepa hara, I sit under the covering of Taranaki, within the iwi boundaries of Te Atiawa. I love our city and I love our mountain. And also love spending time in Canterbury as well. Earlier this year, I did this bikepacking mission with my mate Joe, and that included going over the Omarama Saddle and the Haka Taramia Pass, so just south of Lake Tekapo, if you might know that. It was amazing. And I just recently discovered this week that in some family tree notes that I've got a whole bunch of ancestors who lived in Christchurch, so that the Dowells and the Headfields, so I don't know if they're still there or anything, if you might know that, but there was new revelation to me, so it was cool. I want to pass on some greetings from our church. Now, that might sound a little bit naff, but shallow, like, oh yeah. But it's actually, it's really genuine. Some of the Rainbow members of our church want to express real gratitude to you as a church for taking on this journey. Our leadership board, that's like our elders, want to encourage you that this is a tough and important and good journey that doesn't end with a single decision, if that's where you end up going, but it's ongoing thing. And not rushing this, and that's just what it seems to me, that's what I've heard, that is very much the case. Not rushing is really important. And they also wanted to say to please be prepared. To be prepared for relational impacts, both positive, but also hopefully really minimally some negative as well. And to be really kind to your leaders and pastors. So this morning I want to share about three journeys. My brother and I, two siblings in the Bible that we've just heard about, and our church's journey towards becoming an affirming church for the Rainbow community. Now, I've been using Rainbow community because that's what, and in my community, that's what I'm sort of used to, because that's what I've been told by those in it, that's what they would prefer to use, but I understand that there's different, you know, ways to describe things, so I'm sure you get that. So when I was 17, Brian Adams, everything I do it for you. I'm not going to sing because you would be running out of here, but this song frequently pelted my eardrums from the bedroom next door. Whether I was trying to study or trying to sleep, my younger brother seemed to me to be constantly playing that and others, but mainly that, proud and loud for me, to push my buttons, to wind me up, and I would react big time. My dad still points out a dented door after yet another frantic full-speed chase that resulted in the only lockable door in the house being slammed on my fast-approaching body. My brother and I just did not get along. I was all about sports and church and being good and being responsible and a little bit of study. My brother, he was all about friends and parties and relying on his super intellect to just cruise through school, cruise through uni. He was definitely the fun one. I was definitely the rules guy. Looking back, our conflict wasn't just about music. It was about how I dealt or didn't deal with difference and the way I held tight to my right ways. And the weight of that responsibility of that breakdown was definitely on me. We've had these readings, thank you very much. Mark chapter 3. He, Jesus, appointed the 12 as follows: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, to whom he gave the name Children of Thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. And it says one chapter earlier, Mark chapter 14, as he passed by, Jesus saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax office. Jesus said, "Follow me," and Levi got up and followed him. Levi, the son of Alphaeus, was also called Matthew. Matthew was son of Alphaeus. James in the second one, son of Alphaeus. It's quite likely, though not provable, that Matthew and this James were brothers. And Matthew, a tax collector, betraying his Jewish people, betraying his family, enriching himself by working with the Roman oppressors. And I wonder, how might James have felt having Matthew for a brother? Angry, perhaps? Ashamed or shamed that Matthew had abandoned his family's long-held values? Perhaps scared that Matthew would bring condemnation and perhaps retaliation upon his family? And how about Matthew? Was he feeling unfairly treated? Ashamed, perhaps, guilty, proud, judged, excluded for his decision to go down the dark tax collecting side, seemingly cuddling up to the dominant culture? The tension must have been palpable when James first walked into Jesus' group of disciples and saw his tax collecting brother. And Jesus welcomes them both. People with different views were both being welcomed by Jesus and becoming family together by his Spirit. What would seem impossible back then can also seem impossible for our increasingly polarized society and church in a big picture sense today. Coexisting with difference. And yet with Jesus in the room, at the center, the impossible becomes possible. The year is 2013. Selfie was added to our dictionary. Iron Man and Frozen came onto our scenes, our screens. Who remembers playing Candy Crush? Some people. Nelson Mandela died. Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines killed 5,000 people. And in Aotearoa, the decision was made to enable same-sex couples to be married. And the world didn't break. At Baptist Assembly in 2013, a working group was commissioned to explore marriage equality and to help us navigate decision-making in 2015, although they didn't use words quite that nice. Since we were a Baptist church, we decided, probably assumed I was only a couple of years into that role then, so I was a bit green on the soul pastoral sort of thing. We assumed that we needed to engage together on this topic in order to seek the mind of Christ so as to inform our voting. That's what we do, isn't it, as Baptists? And so during 2015, when the decision was looking to be made, we gathered the best resources we could from both sides of the rainbow coin, and we created a series of meetings to watch and read and share and listen and reflect together. We worked hard at making this as safe as possible for people to share openly and listen well to one another. And nearly everybody engaged. Nearly everybody learnt, and we were held together beautifully in that. We held together. Perhaps because we decided not to make a decision. A survey we did showed that 46% of people supported marriage equality and 31% were opposed. That was the lingo we used back then. We decided together that we'd come back to this topic. So in 2023, our leadership board asked me to lead us in a process of discerning the mind of Christ regarding marriage equality for the church. We had 5 meetings, obviously, there's an 8-year gap there. 5 meetings over 6 weeks, followed by a 2-week gap before deciding together via voting. It was probably about a 3-ish month sort of process by the time we announced it and shared resources and then started those conversations. So together, in those times, we created tikanga, guidelines for how we were going to go about our conversations. Everybody shared where they were at on the topic according to a list of options. one of our leaders chaired the conversations, and I brought some teaching where over the a number of meetings I tried to unpack those tough biblical passages, looking at both sides, but with a clear weight of emphasis on the affirming side, on the affirming ways of interpreting, as I believe that the weight of responsibility for articulating an interpretation different from that traditional way probably lies on that affirming reading. One of our leaders who is gay courageously shared his story publicly for the first time. But that only happened because somebody in our first meeting outed him, which was pretty tough. Fortunately, only a handful of people picked up on it. In another meeting, we heard from Clarice, who's the chair of the leadership at Ponsonby Baptist in Auckland, about her story of growing up in a very traditional church family and then realising she was attracted to women and her journey around reconciling this with her faith. It was really important for us to hear from people within the Rainbow community. And in our final meeting, I unpacked a number of Bible passages that I believe provide scope for supporting same-sex marriage. For 3 months, we encouraged everybody to engage, listen, read to these resources and that we provided, and to be prayerfully seeking the mind of Christ for this decision for our church. But then things got a little bit messy in a couple of ways. Firstly, proxy votes were requested by those wanting a traditional position. Some of them were going to be away and they wanted to still contribute into the decision making. But allowing that went beyond our constitution. And personally, you know, I already wrestled with my integrity, with the power that I had in those decisions. So I'm very, very grateful, thankful for wise teammates who ensured that we chose inclusion over rigidity. Secondly, a lack of clarity with voting made things a bit messy. We pushed quite a bit for people to engage in at least 3 out of the 5 sessions that we had. Being informed to make decisions that greatly impact others, it's so important, isn't it? However, I and our leadership board weren't clear on if disengaging affected one's ability to vote. Now, of course it shouldn't, and it didn't. But also we were, how were abstained votes to be considered in relation to requiring 2/3 of votes? Our lack of clarity was unhelpful, and it was really time-consuming and energy-consuming. If we did this again, we'd probably work really hard at clarity and possibly even making decisions together on the details before beginning decision-making discussions. But sometimes, you know, it can feel like a bit of a lose-lose situation, right? Despite going above and beyond our constitution in numerous ways to make sure people could be included and make things even harder to get things across the line that most of us wanted, some people still didn't get their way and still accused us of ignoring that constitution. So it can be a bit messy there. It was a bit messy there for a little bit. Pretty minor, but voting's a bit of a crude way, isn't it, of seeking the mind of Christ. I reckon it is. But at some point, a decision needed to be made for us in our context. And on vote day, it was really joyful, but it was also really sad. That morning, I received a really unpleasant resignation letter from a couple, and 3 people didn't turn up who'd been very vocally against a change to an affirming position. They decided not to be there to help the vote go through, believing that this was the best decision for the church, despite not agreeing. Their decision was influenced by realizing the church would keep raising this topic if it wasn't voted in now. We talked about not celebrating either way out of respect for each other, and that was the case, so things were really respectful. But it was fairly somber afterwards, despite the vote being well beyond the 2/3 required for change. Some people were really bewildered as to why some of their friends didn't turn up to contribute into the vote. And I remember going to the door afterwards and just had this incredibly sad feeling as one family shook my hand. I spent a lot of time with them just processing this and listening and trying to open the scriptures and looking at that together. A family from overseas that had migrated here, and yeah, it was really heartbreaking because we, yeah, really loved them. But they'd said that that would be the last time that they would be coming if this happened. Yeah, that was tough. So there was some sadness and there was some grief in that moment. But there was also a whole lot of joy, knowing that we could now live out the values that we'd talked about over numerous years, and doing that with, a lot more freedom and a lot less emails into my inbox of, yeah, complaints from a handful of people. One of the really tough things for us has been the number of people who left the church over this. It's felt to me like they've seen their brother Matthew, Jesus' disciple, in the room, and they've chosen to turn around and walk away. That's how it's felt. Us leaders knew this process would be pretty hard for a handful of people, but we were totally shocked over the course of the next few months, where 15 of our committed partners, members, and two of their children left. That was a third of our partnership. And the impact of that has been fairly significant. On the challenging side, many felt angry at those who had left, ditched over one disagreement, when there's, you know, just such an array of things that we agree on and are on the same page with. So why one thing? You know, why would our siblings in Christ do that? We've also had to stop three of our community-based activities due to a lack of people to help. Our financial giving has just plummeted. I've had to drop a day a week. We had a very positive process, though, in coming to that decision. And there was numerous reminders that numbers and money have always been a terrible measure of success and health. For me personally, it was really tough. People I thought I had really good relationships with ended up saying quite unkind things to me and leaving, or just saying that they were leaving because of my theology and assuming that that was normal and okay and that wouldn't have any impact on future contact and friendship. And this happened over the course, not just over like a week or a month, but this happened over 18 months. So it's been tough for a long time. And I appreciate that it's human nature to want to blame someone. You know, often, you know, it can be easy to want to do that. But it's pretty hard being that one person when this was a decision made by the church back in 2015 and then by the leadership board and then again by the whole church in 2023. But I get that. But there's obviously been some, a whole lot of really wonderful impacts. And there's been lots of times that people have said, oh, we just wouldn't change this. And I certainly wouldn't change it either. I mean, in terms of going through the process. Might be some little changes in doing it, but yeah, there's certainly no regrets. But some of the wonderful impacts have been that our church has this depth of peace and depth of gentleness and calm and compassion and freedom that wasn't there before. Everybody is really, really enjoying this. Now the thing is we've added a little note to our website that our full welcome extends to the Rainbow community and have registered our affirmations with Diverse Church. And a family moved into the area, they were looking for an affirming church and found the Diverse Church website and found us. And so it's just been lovely having them a part of us. Another positive impact has come about because the Rainbow community, you know, is keenly aware of safe spaces and take notice when things happen. And we're the first church in our province, in Taranaki, to become fully affirming. Another Anglican church is doing lots of great work as well. Taranaki hosted its first Pride Week last year and were asked to host a service. And we were asked to host a service as part of Pride Week. It was an amazing privilege. Leaders of numerous rainbow organizations came along to see if this was legit. They gave us some incredibly encouraging feedback. There was things like, I genuinely felt safe being here. And I haven't felt this way in church for 25 years. If I was to get back to church, this is where I'd be. Stuff like that. It's led to relationship with a couple of these leaders, and we're exploring how we can partner more intentionally. We were asked again to host a service for Pride Week. We did that two weeks ago. And again, amazing opportunities created to share of the love of God and to keep learning how to be an ally in this space. Another positive is really caught me by surprise, and it's been in our pastors' cluster, where I expected some pretty strong negative reactions, but instead I've only been met with gentle questions and a keenness to hear how it's going. So I would say, in that front, there is hope. And on the national Baptist scene too, I really do see hope. More churches have started a conversation. Pastors have come to me and said that they're affirming but can't action anything in their churches at the moment. There's been a significant shift in the leadership landscape in Baptist land, and it seems that there is a growing middle ground that is quite happy to continue associating together despite differences in theology and on this topic. So I would say there is a lot of hope. There's now 4 fully affirming Baptist churches. There's a desire to support one another, and I think that is so wonderful. It's associating, which is a key Baptist quality and value, and it's just so gospel. I'd really like to give a special emphasis and honour to those in our church and to those of you here who have done some work on this topic and have landed with a traditional perspective, yet have decided that this is not worth leaving relationship over. That this shouldn't be the primary issue in the life of a church, because it isn't. That talking well together and respecting one another and staying in community together is the better Christ-like way. Huge respect to you. Yielding one's preference on this topic is about laying down power, which reminds me of how Jesus laid down his power, taking on the form of a servant. And this giving up of power is so powerful because it recognizes that there is a lot more at stake. A lot more at stake, especially for those in the Rainbow community, as well as those with an affirming viewpoint. So to those in this boat, thank you. Thank you for recognizing that heteronormative people can choose just about any church they want to. And so to give up your preference means so much, because Rainbow people have such few options when it comes to worshiping Jesus in community. And it's been this way for a long, long time. Your Christ-like love for your family and your siblings is seen. So thinking back to our Bible text, we can imagine Jesus seeing Matthew with Jesus and realizing that somehow Jesus accepted Matthew when the wider Jewish family didn't. And I bet that meant the world to Matthew. And what about Matthew? Having felt the warmth of Jesus' embrace and invitation and acceptance, he lived wholeheartedly for God. He found his full and true self in community with Jesus and his people. And he loved Jesus so much that tradition tells us that he left his life in Palestine and went to Ethiopia to share about Jesus with them. And isn't that what we all want? That people like Matthew, on the outer, now included by Jesus and by Jesus' people, and living for Jesus by being willing to go anywhere and do anything. I reckon that's pretty cool. So the year was 2002, up to 2002, and I was working out who was going to be in my bridal party for my wedding. Yes, I was married, very, very young, but such was the lack, that was supposed to be a joke, such was the lack of relationship with my brother that I hadn't even considered him. My mum got in my ear. Mums are pretty good at that sometimes. Consider him, you won't regret it, please think about it. Very reluctantly, I did. And by the grace of God, I sucked up my pride and I laid down my power of choosing my preference and I chose relationship. And I tell you what, I was astounded when he responded with maturity and positivity. That one brief conversation with my brother, that invitation, it was a very short conversation, it changed everything. We started hanging out more. He invited me to join his mates' football team, and we've become best friends. I realized I didn't have to change him. That's got nothing to do with me. We're both equally loved. I could change myself, though, to welcome as Jesus does, to see the Christ-likeness in him. to lean into conversation with him on uncomfortable topics and to put difference second and relationship first. So, me and Noi Tato, let's, how about we pray together? Loving, gracious, and empowering God, help us all to be more like your Son, Jesus. Empower us by your Spirit to lean into, listen, learn from, and love our siblings in Christ. Please grace us with your Spirit to accept your love for us, just as you love the other. Amen.